I want to read this to you. This is in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, whenever God spoke to Moses. He spoke to Moses, first of all, about going in and possessing the land. Of course, Joshua was the one that actually took him in, right, in the Old Testament land of Canaan. And this is what God said, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb. This is, I believe this is Joshua talking to the children of Israel after Moses went on. He said, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn ye and take your journey and go up. And he goes to verse number 8. I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And then over in verse number 21, he said, the Lord thy God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. How many of you know we are already owners of what God has given us in Christ? Yes. But you and I must possess what we have been given in Christ. In other words, if you take what God said was theirs in the land of Canaan and all of their covenant rights and so forth, you can just bring that. If you want to bring that in the New Testament, you would just say everything in Christ. Everything he's given us in Christ. And so he said, here, I have set the land before you. The word set, if you look it up in the Hebrew, because this is written in Hebrew originally, it means I have given. I have given. But how many of you know just because it's given doesn't mean we've gone in and possessed it yet? Come on, somebody. It takes a bold possessing faith in order to walk in what God has given. I remember, I'm thinking about back in camp meeting, right there at the end, right when Pastor Nancy finished the last service Thursday night, and she was blessing the congregation, and then she said, I thank you, Father, emboldened pastors. That's that the pastors are emboldened toward those properties, towards those commodities, towards those things that are in the wave for them. And I thank you, Father, emboldened to take it. Take it, take it, take it, and accelerate in it. Accelerate, not taking as long as in past projects, as past projects have taken, but accelerated pace. Father, we thank you for it. So that's what the Spirit of God is stirring us there with, is that it won't take so long if we're bolder. Did you get that? Say that out loud. It won't in fact, turn to your neighbor and say, it won't take so long if you'll get bolder. Amen. What does that mean? In other words, bold to possess. Bold. Say, tell your neighbor, I'm a possessor. Tell him, I have a bold possessing faith. Amen. In other words, you're not like the bulldog just gumming it. You grab a hold of it with the grip of faith, and you say, this is mine. I'm going to live with it. I'm not going to have anything else. I'm not going to allow anything. I'm not going to allow what has been in my life. I'm taking what God said belongs to me. And you got to get bold about it. Got to get bold about it. Tell your neighbor boldness. I like a story that I heard about years ago. You remember John Osteen, his son now Joel Osteen, pastors down Houston. John Osteen started that church years ago. Started out, he said, it started out Baptist. Then they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they kept the sign up. But a windstorm came along and blew the Baptist part off of it. So they just never put the Baptist part back on there. You know. That might have been a win from God, you know, I'm just saying. Anyway, thank God for the Baptists, right? But here's the thing. He said, they were growing and growing, and he said they were in a place they needed another building. So the Lord spoke to him, said, build the building. It's time. And except here's the thing. At the time the Lord told him to build it, he said it was one of the worst recessions that Texas had ever seen. And God told him, I want you to build a church, an auditorium that seats 8,000 people, and I want you to build it cash. In the worst recession that Texas, maybe there's been a worse one since, I don't know, but up until that time, worst recession Texas had ever seen. And so he told the congregation, and they started giving, and he said, they built that church making this confession, we are possessors, not beggars. Amen. We're possessors, not beggars. How many of you know if God's already given you something, you don't have to beg God for it? Your job is not to beg, oh God, please, oh God, please. Your job is to take what he's possessing, what he's given for to you. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm just looking at a congregation of possessors tonight. So tell your neighbor, I'm not a beggar. I'm a possessor. How many of you know you already own everything that is in Christ? It already belongs to you. But your job is to possess what God has made you owner of. Hallelujah. You know, if somebody leaves something to you in the will, you got to go take ownership. It's already yours, but you got to go take possession of what is in your name. Amen. And, you know, but that's just who we are. We are possessors of what we already own. And I love whenever I hear testimonies in the congregation. Somebody just stood and said, no, I'm not taking lack. I'm taking what I have in my heart. I love it. I love it. And they just don't quit. Just got another testimony this week. Hallelujah. So say it again. In fact, stand up with me. We're going to bring our tithes and our offerings. But say it out loud. We are possessors, not beggars. Amen. Turn to somebody and say that. We're possessors, not beggars. Amen. I mean, you know, you don't have to beg God for something that's already yours. What is already yours? The supply of heaven is already yours. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. That's already laid up for us. I'm a possessor. I'm a possessor. And you know what that includes? Not accepting anything less than. That's part of what that includes. I'm not going to accept a car that I have to run it like Fred Flintstone or something, you know, because I'm not going to accept a car that doesn't have air conditioning or something. I'm going to believe God for what he's made of mine. Somebody said, well, do you have a verse for a nice car? Absolutely. He gives you richly all things to enjoy. And if you want another one, how many of you know he daily loadeth us with benefits? Yeah. And if you want another one, how many of you know he'll give you the good of the land? Yeah. That's another verse. You can find verses just for every little single thing you're believing God for. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say it one more time to your neighbor. Say, I am a possessor, not a beggar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People that have been, Jesus was made poor that we might be rich, right? People that are rich are not beggars. I'm not a beggar. I'm a possessor. All right. One more time. Somebody behind you needs to hear it. Now, they're going to turn around too, so that's not going to work. But tell somebody, I'm a possessor, not a beggar. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, see, we got to work this a little bit. We got to work this a little bit. Turn to somebody else and say, if God has given it, you don't have to beg. Just go possess. Amen. Amen. And when you go to possess, if there's big giants in there, if there's resistance, you just hold your ground. You take what belongs to you. You know what I mean? The big doubts, big fears, big things. You know, sometimes, here's what I've learned. I've learned that when you go to possess, sometimes sometimes what you see in the natural actually gets worse. I've learned that as a ploy of the enemy to get you to back off. Yeah, it starts getting worse. Amen. But how many of you know we still are possessors and we're standing and we're possessing what belongs to us? Hallelujah. A lot of times it gets worse right before it gets real good. Right before it gets real good. Hallelujah. Isn't that right, Christina? Yeah. Yeah, she's just got a good testimony. So anyway, tell somebody as you're seated, I'm a possessor, not a beggar. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead, ushers. Sometimes possessing, let's put it this way, boldness of possessing, it requires you to do something he prompted you to do. Yeah. And your head fights you the whole way. But you just go ahead and do it. Some of you need to do some things. Some of you need to do some things. In other words, don't just keep sitting back and waiting. You know what I mean? One of these days, you know, one of these days my ship's going to come in. Well, why don't you paddle out to the ship, you know? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we don't force issues with people. How many of you know we don't use force with people? But in the spirit realm, you really need to have what is what the Bible calls, you know, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That's not against people. That's not violence against people. But it is, notice what he said, the violent take it by force. It's a aggressiveness of possession and taking. Taking. It's not aggressive with people or fighting people or, you know, being violent with people, but it's an aggression in the spirit realm. Whenever the enemy says no, you just don't take the no. You don't accept that in your thinking. You know, you don't talk the no. You don't get weak or quiet. You just hold fast to your position, you know, your confession. And if you read the Bible closely, the way you possess, a lot of times, it has to include this. There's other things that God will deal with you to do. But the way you possess is that you confess. You ever heard the term, confession brings possession? Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Amen. So if you've dropped some things, I don't know who God's talking to, but if you've dropped some things and haven't been saying it because, well, you know, it got worse and, you know, the answer, they keep saying no or something. Pick that back up. Don't drop that. Amen. Well, it's taken so long, Pastor. Well, what's your alternative doing without? How long did you all stand for your house?
2 years.
2 years?
Well, 2 years.
Yeah. You were playing with it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. The reason I said that, I know all about that. It's a little like, you can be seated. We'll see where this service goes. How's that? It's a little like, that's just keep backing me up there, Brother Travis. Years ago, how many of you remember that verse in Matthew 18:18? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I think you heard us talking about that on Sunday morning during the offering, I think. But that earth has to move first. According to that verse, earth has to move first. Sometimes people are waiting for heaven, for God to move, whenever he's waiting for us to move. That's what that word from Pastor Nancy said, emboldened to take. You know. And so whatever you bind, whatever you loose on earth, be loosed or bound in heaven. So, in other words, heaven will back us up. Earth has to make its move. In other words, don't wait for heaven to initiate everything. There's a lot of things already given. I don't know if you can hear that echo, but I'd like to get that out if I could. So there's a lot of things. Heaven's waiting on earth to make its move.
Yes.
Amen. You know when the Red Sea split?
Yeah.
When you the Jordan River, let's back up to the Jordan River. You remember whenever the Jordan River, they came up to the Jordan River?
Yes.
And you know when it split? There's a river flowing and all of Israel needs to get across it. And God said, tell the priests who are holding the Ark of the Covenant, tell them to go forward and get their feet in the water. When they got their feet in the water, the Jordan River split.
Yes.
But sometimes we want to stand back and just wait.
Yeah.
Till we see before we take that step. Yeah. So there's things that, like the Greek says, or other translations will say there in Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. The Greek will say, whatever you forbid, you know, or don't allow, in other words, on earth. You know, if you're allowing it, then heaven has to allow it. The reason we don't have a different condition in our life in certain areas is because we've been allowing something. And heaven has to allow what we allow, because heaven gave us the authority in what we're going to have down here. So whatever you bind on earth, bound here, whatever you refuse, whatever you just don't allow on earth, then heaven will say, okay, we'll meet them at that point of faith. I remember whenever I injured my back in 2020, I think it was. And, you know, it was one of those things. You ever injured your back? You know, well, this is just kind of fade away eventually. This one wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
This was, I really hurt it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I could just tell this is not one of those that's going to go away in a week or 3 days or something like that. And so I'm hobbling around, you know, laying funny and on the bed and all that. And finally, I woke up one morning and the Lord said to me real strong. It just convicted me all the way down to the core of my toes. He said to me, if you allow this, then I'm going to have to allow it.
All right now.
Boy, that convicted me.
Yeah.
You know, because you can just find yourself just sort of waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
So I got on it in faith.
Amen.
Amen. And was healed of that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But anyway, so whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. Another translation said allow or permit. Whatever you allow or permit.
Yes,
heaven has to allow it if you and I allow it. We got to keep this in mind. Because if you analyze some of your actions, and I've seen this in my life, this is how I know this, you'll find that what you're doing is you're waiting on God. And he's waiting on you to dip your toes in the Jordan River. Amen. It's almost like you got to force the issue. You know what I mean by that? It's just not gonna, you gotta get to the place like blind Bartimaeus. Something's gonna change in my life. I'm not staying the way I am. He forced the issue. He said, Jesus!
Yeah.
Everybody told him to be quiet, sit down in church, don't make a scene like that. And he got louder. He said, no, I'm not gonna permit myself to live blind for the rest of my life. So that's the way it is. But the story I was getting ready to tell you. I told this before, but it bears repeating because it keeps coming up. It came up before service, and then it came up again. But years ago, I don't remember what year, I'm thinking 2015 or something like that. probably more than that. No, that would have been longer than that. Maybe around 2010, somewhere 2008 or 2010. Pastor Debbie had gone to school and had some school loans. And if I remember right, the balance was like $26,000. And we're paying $53 a month on that. And, you know, a lot of that's interest and stuff. And so we just, I don't know, just mindlessly paying the $53, you know. You know what I mean? Mindlessly.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm one day I'm writing out that check and I got convicted. This is, it just came to me, this is ridiculous. $53. And so I went and talked to her about it, and I said, let's get into agreement for this thing to get paid off. I don't know how long we had paid that $53. Long time. She had gone to school. Was that about 2001, something like that? And so maybe 7 years or something like that. And now it's almost ridiculous thinking about it. But anyway, so we got an agreement about it. I think it was 1990s, late 90s. So, but we got an agreement about it, and within 6 months, that debt's completely paid off. And somebody said, Lord, look at what God did for Pastor Jan, Pastor Debbie. He was waiting on us. He was waiting on us. He met us. What we decided, we're not going to allow this anymore. He met us there. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are you allowing? Amen. What are you allowing?
Yes, sir.
That's so good.
Praise the Lord. You know, you get to the place, you grow in faith, and you get to the place, things that before you just weren't in faith for, now it's almost wrong for you to keep allowing it. Because you know better. You know enough, and you know how to live in victory in this area. Now, I didn't mean that's wrong for somebody. Just because something might be wrong for me, like for us, for example, having a balance on a credit card. That's just, to me, that's just wrong. I didn't say that's wrong for you. But that's where I am in faith. You understand? So I'm not trying to put something that off on somebody else that I have a conviction about. But you get to, as you grow in faith, and you don't push it on other people, but as you grow in faith, there's just some things you just stop allowing anymore. You know, you just don't allow it anymore. It's just, it's like on the inside, I say it this way. Now, I don't know if, I'm a country boy. I think most of us are country. You know, Iowa's pretty country. When you get to some other places in the country, this is country. Cedar Rapids is a big cow town. That's what it is. Amen. Amen. Anyway, what was I saying before you distracted me on that? It's like on the inside, you got to kind of stand up on your hind legs. That's the way I like to say it sometimes. You ever seen two bears fighting or, you know, two animals fighting? They'll get up on their back legs, you know. Well, that means I'm really going to hit you, you know. So that's what you got to do on the inside. You just got to stand up on your hind legs.
Yes, sir.
Just like, you know, I'm not taking this anymore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So whoever it's for, get bold. Get bold. Get aggressive. Start speaking bold and talking bold. Yeah, but this thing's big. Well, you ever notice David got real bold with Goliath? Goliath, as they say, 9 feet some tall, and David is 17-year-old stripling of a kid, and he's out there talking to Goliath. He said, I'm going to take your head off of you today. And he's a big talker. God got in the middle of that and met him at that big talk. Hallelujah. How many of you know God can handle your big talk? He can handle your big talk. Hallelujah. He can handle it. God can handle it. Praise the Lord. So, there. That's all free. I won't charge any for that. Hallelujah. You can bring your Bible tonight? Go with me to the book of... This is going to be... Go with me to the book... let's go start from a different place. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 33rd verse. Numbers 13, verse number 33. Now, so when I was talking, some of you had some things in your heart. Whatever, it might be a debt or something. It might be, you know, you just been driving an old clunker car, or you got something came up in your heart.
Yes, sir.
Right, before you write any notes down, write at the top of your note what that is.
Yes, sir.
Because from now on, you're going to be bold towards that.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
See, we didn't come to church just to hear something good say, amen, go home, forget about it. We're going to go be doers of the word.
Yes.
We're going to go be doers of the word. And you might take those verses in Deuteronomy 1. I don't remember the verse there. What was it? Verse 3 or verse whatever, verse 6. One of those verses where it said, you've gone around this mountain long enough. That needs to be your verse right there.
Yes.
You've been driving this old clunker long enough. Amen. You've been putting up with this debt in the credit card long enough.
Yeah.
I'm talking to somebody. Praise the Lord. Anybody go get up on your hind legs? All right. Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. And we're going to read verses. We're just going to read verse number 33. How many of you found it?
Yeah.
Numbers 13, verse number 33. It says, there we saw the giants. This is some of the spies talking. The sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Travis. I'm good. We're learning this new flow, and so we're working together. Praise God. Give him a big hand. Praise God. So notice the children of Israel in this verse. It tells you, it gives you a lot of insight. Because remember, this is an account, the Bible describes this as an account of unbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
And over in the New Testament, Hebrews, Romans, many places in the New Testament, it refers to this and says to us as New Testament believers, don't be like that. Whenever they came up to Kadesh Barnea, sent in the spies came back, ten of them came back with an evil report, two with a bad report, and the children of Israel all went along with the evil report,
yeah.
Meaning, what is an evil report? An unbelief report.
Yeah.
God had said, I gave it to you.
Yeah.
He said, it's yours.
Yeah.
Go in and possess it.
Yeah.
And then the spies came back and said, there's going to be giants in there. There's going to be walled cities. There's going to be iron chariots. There's going to be it's going to be tough. And we really can't do it. And all of Israel accepted that report of unbelief. When God says it's yours, go possess it. They said, we can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
God said, that's an evil report.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that sometimes I hear people say, I'm not necessarily thinking of anybody right now, but things in the past I've heard people say that Christians, believers, I'd almost rather hear them use four-letter words than cuss.
All right.
Not that I'm endorsing that either. You understand? But I'd almost rather hear that than some of the unbelief.
Yeah.
Because it's just as evil. People don't see that as evil, but God called their confession that they couldn't do it. He called it an evil report.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. I'm going to stand up on my hind legs tonight. It's wrong to come to Spirit of Faith Family Church, hear this kind of message, and go home and talk sickness. It's evil. Just as evil as four-letter words.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So, praise the Lord. But so God said to them, go in and possess it. And they said, we can't. And then here's what they said. And here's why. Because right before it, they said, there's men of great stature in there. It's a land that eats up the inhabitants. Verse number 32. We saw the men of great stature. That's the giants. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we, notice this. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. So notice, this is an account that the Bible says over and over, with neon lights blinking. This is unbelief, unbelief, unbelief. Read Hebrews 3 and 4, and it nails this to the wall as unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Unbelief is contraband goods for you and I.
Yes, sir. Right.
You know what contraband goods are?
Yes, sir.
It's like if you go into a country. Let me use an illustration. We go to Nigeria oftentimes. Let's say over there somebody said, here, would you like these elephant tusks?
Yeah.
And I go, sure, great. Let me carry them. And I'm going through customs. Unless something changed. I don't know if it, maybe it's changed, but that's contraband goods.
Right.
That means you cannot go through their border or leave their country with certain things in your possession. Right? So unbelief is for you contraband goods. You cannot flow in the kingdom of God with unbelief in your heart, in your mouth, talking against what God said he's already given you. Contraband goods. Amen. And so make sure there's none of it on you. Make sure there's none in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just real. Pastor, I'm just real. I know, real carnal. That's who you are. Real, real full of unbelief. So now that we've gotten that done, got that out, they said, in our own sight, we were as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So this is an account of unbelief. Notice something that goes along with unbelief. The wrong confession, yes, but something else that goes along with it is the wrong image. The wrong image. People have the wrong image, and that's where the confession is coming from. The reason they say what they say is because they see themselves the way they see themselves.
Yes.
Here's what they indicated that when they said we were in our own sight. In other words, this is how we see ourselves.
Yes.
Every one of us tonight are carrying an inner picture, an inner identity, an inner image that is dictating whether we can get into things or not.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you going to help me preach tonight?
Yes, sir.
And we've got to pay attention to this. Now, those wrong images are called in the Bible imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal and mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice what his imagination is. It's something that exalts itself. In other words, it vaunts itself as true, but it's against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
An imagination. It's something that is imagined to be true, but it's not reality. Well, I just don't know what reality is, Pastor. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And you look up the word truth, it's the word for reality.
Yes.
The word is reality.
Yes.
If God said you're the righteousness of God in Christ and you have all the feelings of condemnation, even though you put it under the blood, somebody's telling a lie, somebody's telling the truth. God told the truth. The reality is you're the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
And so any images, any imaginations, anything that that opposes the realities of God's word, refuse to speak them, refuse to allow that image to last. Don't walk around with it. Deal with it harshly. Deal with it as if it's a rattlesnake got in your house. Sometimes people don't deal with these things that are attacking their thought life, their inner image, creating an identity in them, the thoughts that bring a certain picture of themselves in the light of their own failures.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with those things, and they're trying to deal with all these outward things when the outward things are coming from that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yes.
In other words, it's coming from the inside. Out of the Romans 4, not Romans, Proverbs 4 says, out of the abundance of the heart, or out of the heart flows the issues of life.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
So life is coming out of what's inside of you.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter number 12. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things.
Yes.
Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. What is a treasure? It's something you've stored up by just continuing to think on it. This is something in a man's heart. And what gets into your heart, your thought life is the doorway into your heart.
Yeah.
What you keep thinking on, the thoughts you keep taking, such as thoughts of condemnation from the enemy, or thoughts of failure, or whatever the enemy brings. Thoughts of dying prematurely.
Yeah.
That's trying to, Satan will try to bring, get things in you so that they form an imagination, and that's the way you see yourself, and that's the way you see life going, and that's when that gets in a person, it starts taking them that direction, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. Are we making any sense tonight? So notice they said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers. Now, what is a grasshopper? It's a small little bug. In other words, compared to the giants, we're just a little small little bug. You ever heard of, I'm just a worm? That's saying about the same thing. So they see themselves as small compared to the giants. In other words, we can't do it. We can't take the land. That's what they said, right? So that image of themselves that they had accepted, which I'm sure the enemy helped them do to form that image in them, right? That image of themselves is called in the Bible an imagination, right? So they ended up acting out what they saw. And all of us are doing that right now, whether we're acting out seeing ourselves in Christ, or we're acting out seeing ourselves in our own negative light. Or our own critical light. You ever found yourself being harder on yourself than anybody else? You ever found yourself doing that? I have. Amen. And so you can live out of the critical examination of your past failures, or you can live out of what image got into you because of past imaginations and sitting around imagining certain things or taking certain thoughts. And it will literally keep you from getting into what God has for you.
That's right.
Now, where did this come from? We're in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we're in their sight. First of all, they hadn't talked to the people in there. They didn't know what they saw. In fact, to be honest, how they saw the Israelites. Be honest, we know how they saw them whenever they finally did take Jericho. And before that, the spies went in. And remember Rahab, the harlot, she said, whenever we heard God split the Red Sea for you, our hearts melted within us. And that's why Joshua knew that. And Joshua said, their defenses departed from them.
Yes.
So good. Yeah.
They were already defeated.
Yeah.
In other words, their insides just melted. We're defeated already.
Yes.
If God's going to fight for them, then we're not just fighting a bunch of Hebrews. We're fighting God. And their hearts melted. So this was not, they said that they saw us as grasshoppers.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Amen.
That's just, they only said that because that's the way they saw themselves. But where did that come from? That came from 400 years of slavery. 400 years of slavery in Egypt, you remember, 430 actually, where after generation after generation was living in the kind of situation where it's no use even trying. Because our lives are going to be, the condition of our life is going to be imposed on us against our will. Because they were slaves. Come on, help me out tonight. They lived that way for 400, generation after generation, 400 years. And that can get in the psyche of a people. That can get in their whole mentality, and that can cause them to live hopeless. And we can't make life happen on purpose. It's going to be imposed on us against our will. We might want to have certain things, but they're going to just, stick swords through us and kill a bunch of us. Right? So that can get in the whole culture of a people's mentality. It's not, when you experience setback after setback, it's not so much the setback, it's what Satan's trying to get in you because of the setbacks. Don't ever give up on the inside. Oh, man. You ever heard the term, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog?
That's right.
It doesn't matter how many times you've been knocked back. You need to have a kind of fight on the inside of you that says, no, this belongs to me.
Glory to God.
It's called a spirit of faith.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what's happening out here. Don't lose the spirit of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So but over those generations, that got on the inside of them, and they weren't used to making life happen for them on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they carried, listen to this, they got out of Egypt because of another man's faith, Moses' faith.
Yes. Yeah.
He and God, God sent Moses, you know how that all happened, and Moses led him out.
Yeah.
However, because we never have record, I don't remember anything in the Bible that says Israel by faith came out of Egypt.
Right.
It says by faith Moses.
Yeah.
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 So it really wasn't Israel's faith.
Right. Right. That's good.
Right.
That's good.
So we see that at Kadesh Barnea. They weren't really people of faith. Now, they got out of Egypt on somebody else's faith.
Yeah.
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 Tell your neighbor, they got out of Egypt.
They got out of Egypt.
But then tell them this. But they didn't get Egypt out of them. Yeah, right there it is. Right there. Right there, right there, right there. They still had that kind of mentality, that image of themselves that we cannot make life happen for us on purpose. For so many generations, every time we would try, we get knocked back. And so we don't try anymore.
Yeah.
And you get a little bit of resistance, and you get a blankie and a thumb. Well, that's Egypt's, or that's Israel's story coming out of Egypt. But how many of you know all of us for a period of time, I don't know how long, different ones of us, different periods of time, but all of us for a period of time lived under a tyrant.
Oh, yeah.
Lived under someone who imposed things on us that we had no power or authority to change it.
Come on.
Broke, busted, disgusted, sin after sin after sin that we couldn't be victorious over. Bondage in our mind, weakness, all sorts of, you know, things being imposed upon us against our will. And we had no power or authority to do anything about it. But how many of you know, because of what Jesus did, we came out.
Yeah.
We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. And we've been put in the kingdom of his dear son. Now, we got a job to do. It's called change this right here. Because we are free. Satan doesn't have any authority, any power anymore to hold us, in bondage and just impose things on us because he used to have the authority to impose it on us. He doesn't have the authority anymore to impose things on us, such as doing without, being weak, being sick, dying prematurely, all the curse of the law. He doesn't have any right or authority to do that anymore unless we have we still have the image of being out back under his dominion.
Come on.
It's good.
We've got to change how we see ourselves so that we see ourselves in Christ. Hallelujah. Now that's my introduction. Don't take that off my time. Praise the Lord. So they saw themselves in the image of being a slave. A slave's weight, because you know the story, Israel, they're slaves in Egypt, and they're being fed rations.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even the bricks that Pharaoh was making them make, requiring that they make, he was giving them straw, and then he took the straw away.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So they were used to waiting on somebody to give them something.
Right.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I trust this gets as challenging to meet you as it is to me. They had that in their inner image that unless somebody gives us something, we won't have anything. Now, God comes, he brings them out, and he brings them up to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. I have given you Canaan's land. Now, he's waiting on them.
Right.
Let's go send in some spies. Well, there's big giants in there, and there's walled cities. We can't do it. Let's go back to Egypt. Moses, you brought us out here to die. And they cried. The Bible said they cried all night. They did not have the inner image of themselves as a possessor. They thought everything had to be handed to them, and if somebody doesn't give it to us on a silver platter, then we'll just keep on waiting. We'll just keep on waiting. And that's listen to me very carefully. That's what God says is saying to us over in the New Testament whenever he brings up Israel at Kadesh Barnea and their unbelief. And he said, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Be a possessor.
Yes.
Say again. Say, I am a possessor.
I am a possessor.
Not a beggar. They didn't have to ask God for Canaan's land. He said, I've already given it to you. But we don't like... let me rephrase that. The spirit man loves this, but the flesh doesn't like that responsibility.
Right.
Turn to your neighbor and say, he just gave you a key right there. You got to keep your flesh uncomfortable. You got to keep your flesh uncomfortable. Yeah, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Romans 5:17 says, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. So much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Ah, here's an in Christ verse. We do this by Christ Jesus. So death used to reign. Spiritual death is what he's referring to, which includes, now spiritual death is not just separation from God, although it is obviously that, but spiritual death is means to be under the dominion of Satan. If you look up spiritual death, there's several ways you could define it. Separation from God, having the nature of sin. You could define it as being under the dominion of Satan. That's part of this because Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. That's because they were spiritually dead. So it means being under Satan's dominion. So notice it says here that you who once were that, notice verse, this is Romans 5:17, by one man offense, that's Adam's sin, death reigned by one. In other words, things used to reign over you, but you've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and this thing got flipped.
Yes.
Now death doesn't reign over you, you reign in life.
Yes.
In other words, you're not under a tyrant anymore.
That's so good.
Now, he'll try to keep pushing you around like he used to. He used to do it because he had the authority to do it. Now he doesn't have the authority, but he'll just do it if he can get away with it. How does he get away with it? If we don't stand up and say, not anymore, it's not going to be this way anymore. Now I'm reigning. How do you reign? By what you say. How did Israel fail to take the land because of what they said?
Yes.
We need to re-examine our words.
Yes.
I'm re-examining my words. I'm re-examining my words. I'm looking at what I'm saying. And it's not enough just to not say the wrong thing. Say the right thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Don't sit around and say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Nope. Say, I'm possessing right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah, right now.
It's mine. I have it now.
Amen.
You know, Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them, right?
Yes.
If you look up the word believe and the word receive, because he said, believe you receive. That's the big, those are the two big words right in that verse. Believe. Receive. Believe that you receive. You look up both of those words. Believe means firm persuasion. Receive literally in the Greek means to take. So he's saying, what things ever you desire when you pray? Listen to this. Take it with a firm persuasion. Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Take it.
Oh, there's unction on that. Take it. Take it. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. How do I do that? Right here. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it with your mouth. Take the covenant into your mouth. Take the word of God and put it in your mouth. Say it's mine. Say it's mine. And put it in the present tense. Now it's mine. That's what Pastor Nancy was saying about us. She was really ministering to Pastor Debbie and I. Embolden pastors to take. You take with your mouth.
Yes.
And then as you say this, as you say the right things, you'll get promptings. Do this.
Yes,
exactly.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if Christine is free to share whatever she wants to. I won't give her testimony publicly. She might tell you in private or whatever. I don't know. It's her decision. I'm not trying to make her say anything. But the point is that she got aggressive and has been taking it with her words and with dancing. And right in the middle of that, the other day, while she's dancing, she said, Lord, is there anything else? And the Lord said, do this. She called the person she needed to call. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, there it is.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, I don't know why God doesn't talk to me like that. Are you speaking?
Yeah.
And are you dancing?
Come on.
You're not going to get further direction to do something specific if you're not willing to do what the general expressions of faith that are already written in the Word of God. People want a specific word and they're not willing to do the general word. That's the truth. You might want to write that one down. If you're not boldly saying it, and you're not rejoicing and saying anything, and you're rejoicing to the Lord, don't expect other direction. While you're doing what the Bible already told you to do, then He'll give you the specific directions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm preaching better than your amen, and I do it. I'm winning. I can tell by the charts. I can watch the charts. Hallelujah. So everybody say, I'm a possessor, not a beggar. I'm reigning in life. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 And I'm not going to sit around and just allow certain things to be the way they've been. Those days are over. I said, those days are over. You remember the two, what do you call those guys? The two lepers. The enemy was, they had the city all siege, under siege. There's a word for it. But the Israelites are all inside, almost becoming cannibals because they didn't have access to food. And, you know, it was really bad. And two lepers on the outside, because lepers couldn't come into the city, they had to stay outside. They're outside the city, and they said, well, listen. They just talked to one another, and they said, listen, why sit we here till we die? Because leprosy was going to eat them. I know that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But that disease was a disease that would just eat your body away. So they were sitting there, and they said, why sit we here till we die? In other words, if we stay here, we're going to die. Either the leprosy or there's no food in the city that they can throw out to us or anything. So we're going to die here. Down there at the enemy's camp, we could go down there. Here, we got 100% chance of dying. Down there, we got a 50% chance of living. Because we go down there and they can say, kill them, you know. Okay, we were going to die anyway, so we're dead. Or they could have mercy on us and throw us some food. So they took a vote and they said, let's go down there. So they're on their way. And remember what the Bible said? The Lord amplified their steps. I want to see how that happened when I get to heaven. He amplified the noise of their steps and made it sound like there was a whole army coming. And when they got to the enemy's camp, the army was gone. They had fled and they had dropped all their stuff on the way out of town. So the lepers were like, where'd they all go? Hey, there's a McDonald's hamburger right there. And they're eating. Whoa, man, I haven't eaten a hamburger for a long. Over here's Wendy's. Whoa, look it right there. Over here's some Grubhub. Over here, let's say. And they're just gorging themselves. And they go, wait a minute. Wait, this is not right. not right for us to be taking. And they were grabbing stuff and hiding it, you know, say, we'll come back and get this later, you know. Yeah. Look at that gold bar. Oh, let's hide that over here. And they said, this isn't right. The whole city's back here starving. So they went back and told the city, and then everybody came out, and it took them a long time to gather up all the spoils. Yeah. Well, just because, was it two lepers? Two or three guys? I forget how many men. They said, why sit we here till we die?
Yeah.
I think God's up in heaven going, are they just going to sit there till they die?
Come on.
To some of his people. Amen. You got to make a decision.
Yeah.
A faith decision.
Yes.
The devil will tell you could die if you go down there. And you can tell him, yeah, but if I walk by faith, I'm going to possess what belongs to me.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Stand up and give God a shout tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm a possessor. Not a beggar. Well, if God gave it, why don't I have it? Because you haven't possessed it. You got to believe it's been given. And then you got to go after it. Praise the Lord. Now, when you do that, all sorts of doubt, all sorts of unbelief, stuff's going to be thrown at you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
I mean, not praise God for that, but you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you got to know, when you know that ahead of time, you don't think, well, I must be doing something wrong. Welcome to Faith 101, right there. Just part of it. If you've ever stood and you've stood with all that opposing you, I'm talking about all the doubt against your thought life, all the imaginations of I can't, I've never, you know, I've tried this before, just like Israel, they probably tried to rise up against the Egyptians many times, you know, and they failed every time. All that coming against you, you just keep on going with all that coming against you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If you've heard from God, Don't look out here for your peace. Yeah. Anchor your peace to this down in here.
Yeah.
And just hold on to this and just keep on walking. Just keep on walking.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And God will get in your steps.
Yeah.
God will get in your steps. And the enemy will hear a sound he hasn't heard before.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sound of faith.
Yeah.
A sound of victory.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This works when you hear. You hear from God. You take steps as you hear. And there's been many times, and I'll finish what I started saying earlier. If you've ever done that in the face of the winds of unbelief, you know, just the opposition of the enemy against your thought life and things like that, if you've ever done that and gotten through it and gotten the victory, you're ruined as far as the devil's concerned. Not you're ruined in a good way, you know what I mean by ruined? It's like, oh, I have tasted. Oh, I didn't realize what was on the other side of this. Oh, nom, 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 nom. And you're ruined as far as, when I say ruined in a good way, where you're that doesn't work anymore. All that opposition against your mind doesn't work anymore.
Amen.
You know, I'm on to him. I know how he works now. Praise the Lord. Can you go from starving to it takes 3 days to gather up the spoils? Yes, you can. But you've got to do what was preached tonight. You got to do what was preached tonight. Yeah, but they just keep saying no. They just keep saying no. Well, remember last Wednesday? Was it last Wednesday night? Don't unhook from the flow of God's yes. Don't let that put a, don't let their no put a, you, cause you to put a no on God's yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody a member of Spirit of Faith? faith, family church. This is called a spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. Israel was in Egypt's bondage for 400 years.
Well, it's always been that way. My grandpa was raised that way. My daddy was raised that way. And that's the way I was raised.
What's that got to do with anything? What does your covenant say?
Yes.
What does your covenant say?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So one more time, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a possessor, not a beggar. Hallelujah. You got to see yourself that way. And when you say, well, that image of the past that's formed in me because of all my experiences of the past, it just seems so strong. It seems so dominating. God's given you something more strong. He's given you something stronger than all of that. Remember, he said, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty. Mighty. What are they mighty to do? Pull those strongholds down. Bring those imaginations down and cause you to see yourself in Christ. In Christ. Hallelujah. That was something that Israel had something in them that was reinforced over that period of 430 years. And that's a long time. But God's word was eventually mighty. It was mighty enough to eventually change all that. You know, some of these things might not change on the inside of you overnight, but stick with it. Just stick with the word. Just stick with the word. Keep washing yourself in the water of the word and seeing yourself in the mirror of the word. That's me. I'm a possessor. I'm a possessor. Amen. You know what basically we're saying? We're just saying that when we say I'm a possessor, we're saying I have the spirit of faith. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:13 says. We having the same spirit of faith. Praise the Lord.